There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Let's say Netflix brings the dump truck full of cash to us and is like, hey, we got this script. Who do you want? Wouldn't this guy be like towards the top? Not even just talent, but just sort of like experience to work with?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, not only the talent, but also he just seems like a fun guy that I'd want to be on set with. I think, I think he brings a lot of good vibes to a situation, whether it be, you know, on a film set or just in a social interaction. I feel like he's a pretty chill dude to shoot the shit with and drink some tequila with. So, yes, I think I'm with you there.
And I don't really know anything about him.
I did some research, obviously, but he just gives off a dude I want to hang out with vibe. That was kind of my big takeaway from this whole thing. It's just like, this guy's, I just want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah, he's sort of like an old school movie star. I don't know a lot about him.
Yep.
He seems very professional and chill.
Yep.
He has a very unique skill set. Maybe I shouldn't tip my hand too much, but there's not much I can compare this guy to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he really doesn't fit a mold of any kind.
Now, if you had gotten the number one, would it have been obvious?
For me, yeah. I mean, I knew what I was picking. So if you pick mine, I'll be upset, but I'll also be excited to talk about it.
Whenever we first decided to do this draft, however long ago, I had my number one locked in for the entire time. Until I saw one battle after another.
Rise and shine.
Bat an eyelash.
Good morning.
There are no hands on the clock.
Why?
Because they're not needed.
What time is it?
You know, I don't remember that part. All right, let's just not nitpick over the passwords. This is Bob Ferguson. I was a part of the French 75.
Bitch, I felt like Tony Montana!
Steve Lockjaw just attacked my home. And I cannot remember, for the life of my only child, the answer to your question.
Maybe you should have studied the rebellion text a little harder.
I need to find my daughter.
Well, then call us back when you have the time.
You just...
You know, you are so unsuitable for my daughter. My child comes from a whole line of revolutionaries. And you look so lost. What are you gonna do about this baby?
You know what freedom is?
What?
No fear. Go!
Yes. He's pretty good in it.
So there's levels here, right?
Yeah.
You start with PTA, because I think he's going to win Best Director. I think it's going to win Best Picture. I think it's an amazing movie. I've seen it multiple times at this point. I think Sean Penn's incredible. I think he's going to win the Oscar for supporting actor.
I think Sean Penn's a lock. A lock.
I do too.
Absolutely lock. And I think Anderson's due. I think he's paid his dues and it's time. And I think you're right. I think this is going to get him over the top.
I think Leo's going to get nominated but not win.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think Benicio will not get nominated. For me, his performance here cements this as an all-time classic.
Oh, he makes the movie. he makes the movie, man.
This is the exact conversation I have with people who see this, whose taste in film I trust. One of the first things they say is Benicio is just fucking awesome. Out of this incredible movie, the takeaway somehow is this guy who has like a relatively small part. And this is sort of why I think Benicio is a unique in one respect, because he's unique in many ways, but there's not a ton of really good starring roles for him. He has a very eclectic career.
Yes, he does.
Which I think sort of makes him cooler in a way. The fact that he likes to dip in and out, come in for these cool supporting roles.
Yeah.
But this movie exists. I mean, we can talk about the movie as much as you want to, but for Benicio specifically, the whole movie is really tense. As funny as it is, it's very tense. And his character basically exists to just bring the temperature down and just keep Leonardo chill.
Yeah, just keeping him chill the whole time. What's going on, Bob? Bob, what's going on?
Ocean waves. He always has a beer when he's bringing DiCaprio through the apartments, and he keeps stopping to introduce him to the people in the room.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And Leo's just flipping out, as he should, because like society is crumbling.
He's trying to find a charger so he can charge his damn phone.
A charger.
He sits down for 10 seconds and he's just like, no, Bob, keep going. Bob, it's back here. Bob, back here.
The only person who I think could have come remotely close to being as good as Benicio here is probably Pitt. I think you have to have like a supernatural level of confidence and chill to you that can't be taught. And I think Pitt has that. I think they're actually somewhat similar in a weird way.
You know, it's funny, man. A lot during what they kind of look alike.
They do kind of look alike.
They kind of look alike. And that was in all of my research doing this, that got brought up many times. Everyone's like, it kind of looks like Brad Pitt. Like they have similar face bone structures. Yeah. And they also obviously have, they just exude confidence and bravado. And they are just always cool as a cucumber all the time.
Yes. Probably more than I think anybody else we have right now. Those two.
Yes.
They're just so they're just so chill. And he's the perfect antidote to all these situations in the movie where he's a sensei. He's a karate sensei for
Thank
Chase
you,
Infinity. I mean, it's really like literally every single thing he does in this movie is gold. But the dance he does when he gets pulled over by the cops.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't know if that was in the script. I don't even want to know.
I doubt it.
Whether it was there on the page or not.
Yeah.
Him doing that little dance to the cops. And even the face he makes to the cops when they ask him, like, if he's been drinking. And he's like, yeah, I've had a couple beers. You know, it's like very sinister and he's smiling a little bit. He's just such like an interesting, and I mean this in the best way, like he's such an interesting weirdo to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't say this enough. I think this movie's like truly incredible. The fact that I got Sinner's Weapons one battle after another in the same year.
Been a good year, yeah.
Dude, I think it's been a great year. Like the best year probably in over a decade.
Easily, yeah.
Right? So Sinner's comes out in April, and I'm like, well, this is definitely going to be the best movie of the year. And then I see Weapons, and I'm like, I think this is my favorite movie of the decade. And then I see one battle after another, and I'm like, this might be one of the best movies of the 21st century. Like, but again, you have all that. I don't know what his actual screen time is in the movie. It can't be too long, but 15, I like you said, I think, minutes, I really think he's the first thing I'm going to think about with this movie. So I just, for that reason alone, for him to stick out, it's like a Philip Seymour Hoffman magic trick to somehow be the guy who's in it for 9 minutes, but you're the first thing I think about. Like, it's just an amazing, awesome, singular character / performance.
Guess this is the end of the line, huh? Not for you. Ocean waves,
ditch, Kimosabe.
What? You're gonna hit it on foot.
On foot?
Yeah. Here we go. I'm gonna turn at this gas station, I'm gonna slow down, and you tuck and roll. I'll take it from there. Unbuckle and get ready.
Tuck and roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what freedom is?
What?
No fear. Just like Tom fucking Cruise.
Yo, dude, I don't know if you know this, but like a lot of that stuff about the like Underground Railroad stuff was like not in Anderson's script. Like Benicio brought that backstory to the character and Paul kind of ran with it. And they like built that scene around like Benicio's idea. I don't know if you saw that because they've been doing a lot of press for this. And DiCaprio went on record saying like all that stuff with the Underground Railroad, like that was all Benicio. And we waited for him to come into like they waited for this guy to finish his other movie so they could like they stalled production because they wanted Benicio in this movie so much. I've only seen it once. I don't have the it's not as fresh in my memory as it was. But I remember, I mean, as soon as he's on screen, I'm just like, oh, thank God. It's like such a like there he is. Like, just get him here. Because honestly, the first act of that movie is, I mean, the epilogue is like super heavy.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
And it's like, you're there's so much backstory you're getting. And then that's my favorite part of the film is that whole sequence. Like, as soon as he meets Benicio at the dojo and he's trying to get the phone charger, and then he's like running on the rooftops.
Yeah.
With their friends, like that to me,
the skateboarders.
Yeah. It's a masterclass in pacing. And it's like, it was so refreshing to see Paul Thomas Anderson, like, get back to that type of movie making, because I think he kind of like was fumbling around in really slow burning movies that never really paid off, in my opinion. And
Phantom Thread.
Nice Phantom Thread, The Master. Yeah, it's like I never saw the pizza one. I didn't see that one because I just
Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Was it good? Did you like it?
I liked it. Yeah, I did. I liked it.
Yeah. So it was great. As a big Anderson fan, as a big Magnolia fan, I was thrilled that and big DiCaprio fan, obviously. I was thrilled to see them all kind of together, and it was but that to me, what stands out is that sequence. Like the moment he meets Bob, to everything that happens in his sensei's apartment, and like meeting all those people on the phone charger, him running on the rooftops till he gets zapped by the cops, like absolute masterclass.
Incredible.
In tension and pacing and action. It was awesome. And Benicio was like, I know, like, and he's like, while he's on the phone, you know, having a great, like, Leonardo was having a great moment, you know, on screen, to, you know, giving this guy the business over the phone. Benicio's like ad-libbing every other moment. And he's just like, and he's like making the scene even better by just like trying to find stuff. He's like looking under the bed. He's like going to the bathroom, and he's just like saying random shit. It's just like he just elevates the scene because he's just being so cool on camera, you know. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. It was very refreshing movie experience, to say the least. So yeah, he's, and then when he picks him up and he's like drinking the beer, like I guess he helps him, because he even has like he helps him escape jail too. It's like he knows everybody.
Once that woman says you're diabetic, right? And you're just like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We have people. Diabetic. We have like good people
who
work in all these places.
Right.
They're going to help Bob escape. That's just an amazing. We as the audience, we need the beer. We like, thank God we have Benicio waiting for us with a beer in that car, because we need it. Like, it's just been tense.
Yes. So tense. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and it's like the levity that he brings, it's like you can, like, he shows up and you kind of can like exhale. Like, okay, I can't trust DiCaprio to get us out of the situation, but now that Benicio's here, now I feel good. Like, we're going to get out of this and we're going to be okay. Yeah. Cause this guy ain't sweating at all. He's cool as a cucumber the entire
time. Ocean waves, Bob.
Ocean waves, Bob.
This is what I mean about, like, if the Netflix shows up with a dump truck of cash and we're like, oh, we can work with Benicio. Why be so interesting? Because of the things you said, I would just defer to him if he had ideas. He just seems like one of those guys that has this sort of like intuitive sense of the scene and the moment. So that even if we love our script more than anything, I think he would just walk in with somehow like an innate sense of how to make it better.
Yes.
He just seems to have this like this kinship with like the movie page. That's just, I don't know. He's just like, he gets it.
Yeah,
So all
he's
the stuff
very.
you're saying about like, oh yeah, he came in with ideas and a backstory and blah blah blah, like yeah, I totally think that tracks.
Totally, yeah. And it's great for him, but also it's like, oh, Anderson, you should have thought of that. But it's also credit, it's also
Yeah.
credit to but Anderson's famous for giving his actors a shit ton of freedom. Like, he's known for giving actors a shit ton of freedom, and he's not gonna, if he hears a good idea, he's not gonna say no, this is my project. And that's what I think makes him a great director, and why I think actors want to work with Anderson so much, is because he allows that creative collaboration and freedom.
He gets great performances consistently out of
He
his cast.
does, absolutely he does, absolutely. That's like every movie. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis has won twice for being in his movies, you know. It's the guy knows what he's doing. Yeah, it's I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's when he picks him up with the beer, and then they're driving, and he's like, it's not every day you get to save Bob Ferguson twice in one day or something like that. Like, even he, that's what's so, I think, so sweet about his character, is that he's like taken aback by the fact that he's helping Bob. Because what's their movement called? What are they part of? It's not every day you get to help, you get to save the so and so twice. I can't
This
remember.
Revolution 75.
Yeah. It's like, oh yes, French 75. It's not every day you get to like save a member of the French 75 or something like that. Like, he's starstruck, you know, that he's finding out that Bob, this guy whose daughter he teaches karate to, is in the French 75, because he doesn't know that until Bob essentially reveals that to him when he tells him that his daughter's been kidnapped. So that's when he's like, holy shit, like, I'm kind of starstruck. Like, I'm gonna help you out, man. We're gonna do this together. And he has that great line, like, you know what freedom, what is it? You know what freedom is? No fear. Like Tom fucking Cruise.
Incredible.
That's such
Just incredible.
incredible
Oh
line.
my God.
Tom fucking Cruise as he's
I'm fucking
driving.
Cruise. When he like tells Leo to get off the mat, he's
Oh
like, get off
yeah.
the mat, Bob.
Yeah, get off the map, Bob.
It's
Bob, what's going on?
amazing, dude. It's just real quick. I don't know
Yeah.
because you have I know it's been a minute, but the scene where Leo falls off the roof, because I've seen it a
Yes.
couple times. I still don't know how they did that scene. Like, it's one shot. He falls on his ass from far up. So
Oh
next time you
yeah.
see it, pay attention, because when I watch it,
Okay.
I'm like, I don't know how they did that trick. It really looks like Leo's fallen from 40 feet. And then
Wow,
he
really?
emerges and they don't cut or anything. I'm like, how the hell did they do that? But anyway,
Oh
yeah, him with the skateboarding crew when he rolls down the window and he's like, meet me there. And they're like, it just, dude,
yeah.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
got to watch Magnolia again because I think that's my favorite PTA, but this is right there, and it's tough.
Yeah,
I gotta watch it again to
it's
see.
his best, it's his best since There Will Be Blood, that's for sure. Best one since There Will Be Blood. So it's been nice to see, because he had a bit of a, yeah, it was a bit muddy there for a while for me personally. I know some people adore The Master, and I am
The
not one of
Master, I
those people.
love. Licorice, fine, and then Phantom Thread. I never understood all the hubbub.
Yeah, I didn't either. I feel like it kind of went in a different direction. I was like, oh, that's not what I thought I was walking into. Yep.
I've never been like, oh, maybe Phantom Thread tonight. That's never happened. I've never been like, let's fire it
Nah,
up.
yeah, Fire up Phantom
So
Thread. Yeah, no, but this one for sure. Yeah, one battle after another.
rewatchable. Seriously, like
Yeah.
it's Coen Brothers, but with more adrenaline, just PTA.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go through every section, but the scene at the end when they're going up and down the hills, that whole chase
Oh, that was
scene,
great. That was set up
incredible.
so well. Yeah, that was set up
Yeah.
really, really well.
So
Yep.
tense, but so Leo is so funny, and Sean Penn is
It's
just
great.
out of his mind. Great here. This might be like his best performance ever. It's just
It's
maybe.
up there, man. Yeah, he's definitely gonna get what, his third Oscar, I think. This would be number three, or maybe four
Yeah.
for him.
Right?
Might be four,
Milk?
actually.
Was it just Milk? What else did he win for?
Milk, anyone for Mystic River.
Oh, Mystic River. Yeah, it'd be
So this
three.
might be it'd be his three. Yeah, it'd be three.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's gonna get it.
I think he's a shoo-in. I can't think of anything. I mean, unless something comes out, I don't know. But like, by this time, usually the festivals have all come and gone, so we kind of know what the front runners are. So I don't imagine anything else.
It's also such a good message, the movie, so that's going to help its favor,
Big time. It's so relevant. Yeah. Even
So
though
right.
it's set in the past, even though it's set in the past for most of it, yeah, it is very relevant.
Yeah. Now I feel like because I don't know Pynchon at all. I feel like I have to dive into Pynchon after this, see if I can wrap my head around the books, which I've heard are very
Yes.
dense, but I'm curious enough that I want to try.
Did you see have you seen Inherent Vice?
Yeah, and I wasn't a huge fan of that one.
I wasn't either. I forgot about that one too. Yeah, because
Yeah.
it went Master, Inherent Vice, Phantom Thread, and then Licorice Pizza. And I was like, ugh, maybe I'm not a fan of his anymore.
Yeah, I
Like,
know. Well,
are
that
you
happens.
just, well, it's like it happens. I mean, you're an artist, you're when you're a writer, like you try, you expand and you
Yeah.
try to get sick of your own writing, so you try to find different things to write about, and
Yeah.
you're struggling to find things you care about, care to write about too. So I'm not gonna knock the guy for it. It's just it kind of fell out of favor with me, I guess. But this one was a nice return to form.
He just had such an incredible run from basically what, like Punch Drunk Love to There Will Be
Yes.
Blood. And then for Me the Master, I think it's like a couple, no, 2014.
The Master was 2013. Yes,
2013. So yeah, I
2013.
mean
Yeah.
that's still, and you're talking Boogie Nights was
Well, it went from he
97.
did. Yeah, he did. No, Boogie Nights. He goes Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, There Will Be Blood. Like that's
I
four in a
mean,
row
Jesus.
that just, really. And There Will Be Blood to me, I feel like is his masterpiece. Personally, that's my personal take on it. But then yeah, he follows that up with, and then yeah, and that was 2007.
Yeah.
And then the master doesn't come out until 20, so it's 5 years between films. So I was like pretty amped for that, and the master kind of like didn't hit the way I was hoping to. And then Inherent Vice was kind of like a stoner flick that just ironically Benicio's in that too.
And he's pretty funny there in
He is
his
funny,
brief
yeah. He
time.
is, but it's kind of small, but kind of small role, yeah.
Yeah,
But
you blink and you miss him. But that one, yeah, the
correct.
tone never totally clicked for me.
Yeah,
I
same.
felt like when I watched that, I was like, oh, PTA shouldn't do this type of thing.
Right. Yep. I agreed. Yeah, I remember watching. I thought it was going to be funny, and the cast was ridiculous. Like how
Yeah.
many actor, I mean, well-known people are in that movie, and I'm like, this is going to be amazing. And then you
Yeah.
walk in and you're like, oh, this is kind of falling flat.
I know
It's
it
falling
sort of
flat.
wanted to be like a Lebowski and it just didn't know how to do it.
Right. And it just didn't, yeah, this wasn't his wheelhouse. Yeah.
No.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, and then it was the Phantom Thread was 2017, I think. And that one was kind of like, okay, all right, Daniel Day-Lewis is good,
Yeah.
per
Yeah,
usual,
no.
but I don't know what it has to say.
Yeah.
I guess you should work too hard because then you're
Right.
gonna resent your partner. I
Right.
don't know.
Yeah.
That's what
It was one of
he's
those
trying to
movies
say.
where, like, do I have to pretend I like this?
Yeah, and then yeah, Licorice Pizza. I forgot. That was like, isn't it about like Barbra Streisand's husband or something? Bradley Cooper played Barbra Streisand's manager or
Bradley
something like that.
Cooper plays Barbra Streisand. He played, what is it, John Peters?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But
I didn't
it's about
say.
Cooper Hoffman and Elena Haim,
That's
their love
right.
story, which is a weird
Yeah.
love story because she's 25 and he's like 16 or 17. So that got a lot of hubbub in the tabloids.
Okay,
Like,
I
that's a
see.
weird pairing. Whatever. I think it's fine. It has good elements to it, but
Okay.
one battle after another, I think, is just like
Oh yeah, I
masterfully
mean,
done. Like I don't know how you would have known this was PTA movie. It feels like a real evolution to his filmmaking. That's why.
big time, big time. And I'm glad that, I know that it's not really making its money back, but I'm glad that he really swung for the fences because I felt like he was kind of playing in a small sandbox, and he's proven that he can play in a big sandbox, and it just didn't make any sense why he kept going smaller and smaller. And so I was glad to see that he expanded his scope to flex those muscles again, because I think he had those muscles are there.
It's gonna be tough for him to elevate after that one. I don't know what else.
True,
I don't know where
true.
he goes from here. This is really just like such a mammoth undertaking
Big
to do
time.
this movie.
Big time, man. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's my number one.
All right, good pick. Okay.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
All right. I'm
you got the corner.
I got the corner. That's right. Oh, so that means I go back to back? Oh, beautiful. Oh, this works. Oh, that's a lot of talking for me. Okay. All right. Well, I'll try to be succinct.
Ocean waves, Bob.
Ocean waves. Ocean waves. Okay. All right. My number one. Let's start with a quote. You're asking me how a watch works. Right now, let's keep our eye on the time. 2015, Sicario.
State Department is pulling an agent that specializes in responding to escalated cartel activity.
This is not my department. FBI!
You want to be a part of this?
Do we get an opportunity at the men responsible for today?
The men who are really responsible for today.
Ever been to Juarez before?
We're going to El Paso, right? You're not American. Who do you work for now?
Well, I go where I'm sent.
Every day across that border, people are killed with his blessing. To find him would be like discovering a vaccine.
Nothing will make sense to your American ears.
But in the end, you will understand.
Spotter vehicle, left lane.
Spotter vehicle, 9 o'clock.
Get your weapon out.
This was my number one for the entire time until I saw One Battle After Another.
Well, I'm really glad you saw One Battle After Another, because that means I get to take Sicario number one. Because
I'm glad you're taking Sicario.
You would have taken it. You would have taken
absolutely.
It. Okay, so just some context here. So this comes out in 2015. You know, Benicio had... I was always aware of who he was. And, like, he was kind of a character actor, showed up in Sin City, you know, with the face, the different face, and, you know, stole the scene.
Yes.
And stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's really all I knew about him. I wasn't like a Benicio, like, I gotta go see the next Benicio movie. You know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't until this fucking movie comes out. And holy shit, was I like, fuck, have I been sleeping on Benicio del Toro? Like, have I been sleeping on this guy? Like, I have never been so blown away by a man who barely says a word. It barely says a word the entire movie. And apparently that was his idea. Okay. Apparently there was much more dialogue written, a lot more exposition dialogue explaining his character. And he basically went to Denis Villeneuve and was like, yeah, I don't think a guy like this would say that. He's like, I've known people like this and they don't talk about this stuff. So like, I don't think Alejandro would talk about this stuff. I think he would be very keep it all inside. And so they cut like lines and lines of dialogue. And it's like, thank God they did, because that's what makes him so interesting. And so like, there's this mystique because he doesn't say anything. And you're seeing it from, you know, Kate's point of view. And first of all, he doesn't show up till like 30 minutes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like 30 minutes of the movie, he shows up. Right. And he's not introduced. He's wearing this like tan suit and sunglasses. He's like standing off to the side of the airplane. And then he shows up, shakes her hand, you know, says barely anything. And she's like, and he's like, have you ever been to Juarez before? She's like, I thought we were going to El Paso. He just doesn't say anything. Not at all. You know what I mean? it's just like such an incredible. I mean, let's just talk about the movie for a second. I mean, the movie is
it rocks.
It rocks. It rocks so fucking hard. I'll probably watch this movie 3 times a year, maybe once every couple months, because it's just, it's one of the most rewatchable badass action thrillers, you know, I've ever seen in the last 20 years. I mean, you know, we're talking, I don't know. I mean, like Heat, maybe Heat is a good example.
It's a good comp.
Like, good cop, right? You know, but Heat's like 3 hours long, you know, and it's like very emotional. It's like this one's just like
there's no laughs.
Sicario, there's no laughs. I mean, Josh Brolin gets a couple of one-liners in there,
sure,
you know, and but he's like he's kind of the comic relief. He's there to bring levity. You know, he's great in it. I mean, talk about people at like the and really and Denis. It's such a great. It just makes me wish that Denis had picked this franchise to be a director of rather than Dune.
Oh, dude, can we spend 4 hours like, talking about what you just said?
It's like, why are you making 3 Dune movies when like clearly nobody wants them? I don't know who wants those movies. I don't know what the hell's going on in them. I don't care. I watched the sequel last night because I'm like, I know the sequel was not as good, but it's still a great world to be in. And it's a bit of a lackluster ending, but like the character of Alejandro and honestly Josh Brolin's character and the tone of like this type of story in this film to me is like it's so much more fascinating, interesting to watch, and it has something to say. Whereas Dune is just like I don't this guy riding a worm in the sand, like I don't give a fuck. Like why does it seems so silly that Denny would invest so much time in that franchise and just like walk away from a Sicario, which is just like critically beloved.
I could not agree more about Dune. I know those movies are popular and they make money and they're going to make a third one, but
I know
I watch them and I don't care about anything that's happening.
I don't.
I think it's the sequel. I saw the sequel and Josh Brolin shows up for 4 seconds and I'm like, thank God. Someone I care about. And he's not even doing anything. He's just on the screen. Yeah.
He's on the screen. Yeah, I know. They're very hollow. And there's really no like tension. There's a guy on TikTok. He's a writer and he makes a lot of interesting takes on TikTok. And one of his takes was like, I don't understand Dune. Like everything that's supposed to happen happens. Like they have a plan, they have a goal, and then they accomplish it. And then that's it. It's like, where's the twist? Where's the tension? Where's the, you know, let's figure this out and adapt. It's like everything that's supposed to happen sort of happens. And then that's it. I'm like, it's like, yeah, you're right. There is no like, there's no character where characters have to struggle and overcome an obstacle or have to adapt because a twist comes in, you know, it's like, it's just boring storytelling. Anyways, I think Denis Villeneuve does Prisoners and then Enemies and then this one. And then after Sicario, he does Blade Runner 2049, which also was kind of a letdown personally. I thought it was a little bit meh. And then he does the Dune thing. And then he goes Dune thing. So I feel like
did he do Arrival?
Oh yeah, Arrival's in there too. Yeah, you're right. Arrival's in there too. Arrival's good. Arrival's in there. I think it was Prisoners, Enemies, Sicario, Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, and then Dune. I think Sicario, Prisoners are my 2 favorite films of his. And then he kind of went off and did like these, you know, genre outer space, like legacy stuff. And I feel like he's better suited for more contemporary modern storytelling. Clearly, I think, because Prisoners is like way up there for me.
This is by far my favorite of his.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, who went on a run here was the writer, Taylor Sheridan. So Taylor Sheridan wrote this, and this is off of, I think this is off. So this is Sicario, and he does Hell or High Water the next year, which is also a phenomenal film with
our guy, Jeff. Jeff Bridges, Ben Foster,
Ben Foster, Chris Pine. Thank you. I was drawing a blank on all 3 of their names.
Yeah, that movie's awesome too.
That's a badass movie. That is a badass movie. And then he ends with Wind River, which I think he directed as well, which wasn't as strong, but great writing all the way around. And then he gets the show, and then he starts making shows for Paramount, and now he's like a showrunner with 15 shows on Paramount. I think he actually just left Paramount.
He did.
I think he's going to Universal because Paramount wanted to cancel some shows or they couldn't afford him, I think, just because of the merger. And Skydance was like, we're not going to give you this much money. And he's like, okay, I'm jumping ship. And now he went to Universal.
I can't even imagine what that new contract is. The dude, Paramount is the Taylor Sheridan network. It's like him in South Park, right?
Basically, yeah. It's just all his shows in South Park. And I guess they got Comedy Central too, but whatever. So the reason I bring that up is you get Denis Villeneuve and Taylor Sheridan both have now blown up, right? They are running, they have their pick of the litter. Any project they want, Taylor can just get a blank check. Denis can just pick any script he wants and says, I want to do this one. You know what I mean? So it's this was the start of that. One of Emily Blunt's best roles in movies, personally. I think she's fantastic in it.
She's great. Great.
She's great in it. Josh Brolin's always good. And then you got John Bernthal plays a great one-off scumbag. Yeah. He's super charming in the beginning. You're like, oh, John Bernthal. You're like, oh, no. Daniel Kaluuya's fine. He has, he doesn't have a lot to do in that, but he's fine. You got fucking Deakins behind the camera. You got Roger Deakins shooting this movie, and you got Johan Johansson doing the score. It's it's just crazy that, only just 10 years ago, we could have this much talent behind a $30 million movie. You know what I mean? Nowadays, you only get this amount of talent if it's a Bond movie or,
a Wes Anderson movie that no one watches.
That no one watches, right? Yeah, right. Exactly. It's I feel like this is such a time capsule for me because I'm 2015, things are still normal. Obama was president. Marvel hadn't taken over yet, and we were still getting these $30 million movies that could make their money, and you'd have great talent behind them. Right? It was it was an original idea. It wasn't based on a book or a product. You know what I mean?
Can we talk about Brolin real quick?
Sure, yeah.
He's phenomenal here.
Yes.
It's like army decals and guys in suits, and then you have Brolin in the conference room with flip-flops and a t-shirt. And that's such a small, great detail. Because that just means this guy can do whatever he wants. The fact that he's not even wearing socks in this room. And that just feels... Here, I don't want to cut you off, but I think that's very... Go. Because that this world of the cartel and how we deal with the cartel, it always felt super mysterious to me. I never knew what our thoughts or plans were on how to combat the cartel for my whole life. It just felt like this thing where it's the wild, wild west. Do we care? Are we implicit? Do we encourage certain things? I have no idea. And it's only very recently in the news that it feels like we're now involved in the conversation of what we think about the cartel. We're blowing up these boats because there's Venezuelan drug dealers and whatever. But just to Brolin, having a guy who dresses like that and he's smiling, that just feels like such a awesome, super minor detail to bring me into this world. It's not a guy in a suit with a black tie. It's a guy who's like, okay, if you want to take the war to the war on drugs, you're going to need this. You're going to need people like this.
Need people like this, yeah.
And I just thought he's awesome here.
You gotta try this on, see if it fits.
Is he CIA? Are you?
He's a DOD advisor, just like me.
No, he's not.
But just pay attention to Alejandro, and if he says do something, just do it.
I'm not authorized to follow orders from Alejandro, especially in Mexico.
Fine, then stay here. But you don't want to, do you?
I just want to know what I'm getting into.
Kate, you volunteered to get on this train because you know you're doing nothing in Phoenix. Okay, you're just sweeping up a fucking mess. In 6 months, every single house you raid will be rigged with explosives. Do you want to find the guys responsible, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
This is where we start.
It is speaking of character introductions, obviously he's introduced first before Alejandro is. And he's introduced, I think, pretty sure by the flip-flops. I think it's a close-up on the flip-flops. because Emily Blunt is outside kind of looking over her shoulder to see who's in there. And they focus her POV on the flip-flops and that kind of tilts up. And Brolin's in there just sort of tapping it, chewing some gum, wearing a Hawaiian shirt, sipping his coffee cup. It's tremendous. And then when she walks in, he's asking her all these really personal questions are you... are you married? No. She's like, do you have a boyfriend? She's like, no. Like, kids? She's like, no. He's like, she's the one, she'll do, you know, it's like, that's who I want. Somebody who has no familial connections, who, you know, is more or less expendable in case things go bad.
Expendable. Yeah.
Expendable. Yeah.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Correct. Okay, just talking about the movie real quick. So it had a budget, I mentioned this. So production budget of $30 million. It earned around $85 million worldwide. So almost tripled its budget. Performing strongly for a hard-edged, adult-oriented thriller. I think it's also rated R. The film's success helped solidify...
Definitely R.
It's hard R. The violence is insane. The film's success, as I mentioned, helped solidify Denis Villeneuve's reputation as one of the most important contemporary directors, and further established Taylor Sheridan as a major screenwriting voice. So, yeah, $85 million. I think when was this released? This was released in September. So September 18th, 2015 was a limited release. October 2nd, 2015 wide release. So that's pretty good for a fall movie. $30 million, it earns 85 worldwide. Yeah, that's definitely, we call that a success and where I come from. Yeah, let's just talk about Alejandro for a second, because that's why we're here, right? So I obviously, you know, what's interesting is that the movie's told, you know, the movie's sold and told from Kate's point of view, but is she really the main character? Like, whose story is this?
I think we know
who the story is, and it's Benicio del Toro. It's Alejandro. He completely steals the film. He's got this quiet menace. And the way that we learn about him and the way his story is told to us and the way we finally get like his true backstory and what's motivating him under duress. Kate gets that information from Josh Brolin's character. And Kate finally learns, like, she's like, he works for whoever will point him in the direction of the people that made him. And it's like, oh, fuck. And you're like, what? How did they make him? And he's like, whoever, the people that cut off his wife's head, the people that put his daughter in a vat of acid, and, you know, her face just drops. And he's like, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. And it's like, when you learn that, you're like, oh my God. And there's this POV shift that is pretty rare in movies to change the point of view of the protagonist for the audience from one to another. It's pretty rare. It's pretty hard to pull off. But it just takes the movie in a different direction. And all of a sudden everything makes sense. Everything clicks. And you're like, oh shit, what's this guy going to do? And like, what's he capable of doing? And then he's in the back seat with the cop. you know, and he's telling him what to do, and like that whole exchange about how he gets the guy out of the car, you know, and telling him what to say. It's like everything he thinks about is just fantastic. All right, anyways, a couple of pulled one-liners. Nothing will make sense to your American ears. You scare the dark. Don't ever point a weapon at me again. Don't forget about my daughter. For me, he says this in Spanish, but he says, for me, it is personal. And then the coldest line is, finish your meal. Oh, dude. Fantastic. So fantastic.
Time to meet God. That is otherworldly, that scene.
I mean, that whole, the buildup to it, the cold, and things happen off camera, and his face is just like locked in. He just sort of like he's just so quick with the gun. And then when he finally, you know, shoots the main guy at the table there, he gets up and he kind of just like puts even closer, like the gun. He just like can't, he's just so angry. He's like, he wants to shove that gun through the guy's face, you know, but he like can't, he just pulls the trigger again. But you can just, the menace and the anger and the grief, you know, and the guilt and the revenge, everything is built up in that moment. And Benicio just plays it. It's just terrifying and intimidating, but also cathartic all at the same time, because you're realizing now that you're going to root for this guy because of what happened to his family. And it's such a pivot to happen basically in the middle of the third act. You know, that's almost, you know, I think, I get ahead of myself here. I think the craziest moment to me is when Kate falls into the tunnel and she tells him to freeze, and he turns around, he's got the cop, and he's basically like, you know, get out of here. And she's like, you know, step aside and pull the guy, and he puts the cop and he hip shots her right in the chest, and it's so fast. Mm-hmm. You're like, holy shit, like this guy's in another league, you know what I mean? He doesn't care. And then he runs up to her and he says, don't ever point a weapon at me again. You get that cold line. He's like, catch your breath and go back to the others. that to me is the climax, because even though you have, and everything after that is kind of like the resolution, but to me that's the climax of like when you're, because you're the whole time you're not sure who this guy is, what his intentions are, and what he's capable of, you know, and you're just sort of seeing little glimpses of who this guy really is. And when he does that hip fire shot, and just without hesitation, doesn't even try to talk her down, he's like, I don't have time for this, you know. And it's just like, fuck yeah, like that's movie making to me. Like that's when you have a badass character. I hate wasted moments where you're just like, no, this is, you know, in exposition. It's like, I love when characters are written where they're like, I have bigger problems, I don't care about you, like get out of my way. And like, you know, like it's just like, mm-hmm. it's so refreshing. And that to me was like my favorite part of the film, is because that's when everything turns on its head and you realize, oh fuck, this guy is willing to do anything, and Kate is like just along for the ride, you know, like she doesn't know what, she's just hanging on, you know what I mean? We thought she was going to be somebody to maybe change or intervene. It's like, no, she doesn't have to stand a chance against this guy.
She's just a pawn, and she's just a pawn. She can't do anything. She keeps trying to not be a pawn, and people just literally throw, Brolin just like throws her to the ground, and then Benicio shoots her. Like,
yeah.
But this, like, is the whole thing about the war on drugs. Like, what is the realistic, friendly approach to make a dent in this thing? Right. So the script does such a great job of trying to come at it from a realistic angle. Because I don't know what the friendly approach is to this stuff.
Right. Kate is coming from a place of, like, we got to do this the right way.
Yeah.
There's a right way to do it. And Brolin and Alejandro are like, we tried it that way. This is what happened. So we're not doing that anymore. And we're, and even in her scenes, like with her boss, you know, she's like, I want to, like, these guys are doing this, this, and this. And he's like, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, these orders don't come from me. Like, these decisions are made outside this room, very far away from here. Like, what do you think that means? Like, that means that I'm not in control here. So like all your problems, the way they're doing things, like this has all been approved. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even understand. Like, it's so much bigger, you know, than what you see. And that's why, you know, I love that line where he's like, you're asking me how a watch works right now. Let's keep our eye on the time, because that's the truth. It's like, there's so many layers to this issue, this problem, whatever you want to call it, you know, the war on drugs, that, It's not gonna, it's, and doing it the right way, it's asking the question, can this be solved doing things the right way? Or do you need to take, you know, this type of action? And the moral ambiguity is the beauty of the ending of this movie. And that's why it works. It's like, yes, there's great action, there's great characters, there's great tension. That whole border, we haven't talked about the border scene yet. That whole border scene is epic. Like, just the whole scene of them going into Mexico and picking that guy up is like, there's like barely any music. You know, you're seeing it all from Emily's point of view, and you're seeing the people being hanged from the bridge, you know, naked, heads cut off and stuff like that. And you got Jeffrey Donovan in the front, like, welcome to Juarez, you know, offering his commentary, you know.
Oh, it's so good.
And he's fantastic, and I love Jeffrey Donovan. Yeah, and then, that whole scene is, that whole, they're falling behind the cars, you know, these guys with guns and stuff, and they're just like a really long, drawn out, you know, and then they pick the guy up, and it's like, you're not really sure what's going to happen, and then they finally get to the border, and all that tension, and, you know, Alejandro's calling out, like, red car on the left, gun, you know, it's like, making things happen. That's just a phenomenal masterclass in tension there, too.
Get your service weapon up. Red Impala, two lanes over on my 10.
Copy that. Red Impala, two lanes left.
Roger that.
Gun left.
What are the rules here? We must be engaged to engage. Permission to get out of the vehicle and set a perimeter. Stay in your vehicle. You can do what they do. If they get out, you get out.
Yeah, and then of course, obviously at the end, After the revenge has taken place, there's still like one, you know, loose end has to be tied up, and that it has to be signed off to get approval to make sure there's no investigation of this. And of course, who has to sign off on it? It's our lovely girl Kate, played by Emily Blunt. She's on her balcony, just looking out, and all of a sudden you just hear this voice: "You shouldn't stand on balcony right now, Kate." And it's just like, holy shit, this guy's in my fucking apartment, you know? And it's like, yeah, he is, you know? And then it's like, he's just sitting in darkness, you know? Deacons has like one light, I think, in the kitchen. So he's incredibly backlit. He's got a little bit of light wrapping around him. It's like beautifully staged. And he's like, obviously, you know, very much in darkness because that's his character. And then he has him down, you know, and he's got her gun, obviously. And he's like, sit down. And she's looking at him, and he's like, you got to sign this. Basically says we did everything by the book. And she just is like, that's why I'm saying, I think this is Emily's best performance. She's like realizing she can't sign this because of what it compromises her integrity and her credibility and everything she stands for and everything she believed in when she, you know, probably took this job and, you know, salute the flag and everything like that. And she's basically, by signing that, she's, everything she thought she knew was a joke, was a lie. All this oath, this creed, you know, this thing she stood for and the way she thought she was going to make the world a better place is not possible. And her signing that is admitting that reality. So of course she's, you know, weeping and she's like, I can't sign it. I can't do it. And he's like, yes, you can, you know, yes, you can. and he even takes her hand and puts it down on the paper. And she's like, I can't do it. And then you see his arm, it's in a close up, and his arm kind of moves, and you hear it. All of a sudden, it cuts to Emily's close up, and the gun is right under her chin. You're like, holy fuck, he's going to kill this girl. And she just starts weeping even more. And he's like, you'd be committing suicide, Kate. And she's like, oh my God. And he just holds it there.
Yeah.
And he even holds the gun in the position that her hand would hold it if she was holding the gun to commit suicide.
Right.
Like that's how smart this fucking guy is. And of course you hear the pen move, She signs it, and he says, like, he says, he's like,
she moved to a small town where the rule of law still exists. You will not survive here. You're not a wolf. And this is the land of wolves now.
And then he just walks out. Just fucking walks out. It's like, holy shit. Like, these are the types of characters that we need in movies. Like, we need these types of characters in movies. We just need somebody who's just says enough, you know, says just enough, but he said what he says is like bone chilling, you know, like bone chilling. But we're all thinking it, you know what I mean? By that time, and I've watched this movie a million times, you know, rewatching it, Kate's kind of an idiot. Like, when you look back at it, it's like, Kate, how do you not realize that what they're doing is clearly above board? And like, they just need you here to sign off on something. I'm like, how smug do you have to be? Even at the end, when Josh Brolin finally confesses to her, like, you know, hey, listen, like, this is who Alejandro is. This is why he does this. You know, this, mm-hmm. he goes after the people that made him. She's like, you can't do this. Like, you're not going to pin this on me. Like, I'm going to talk. I'm like, why? And I'm like, why would you say that, you stupid idiot? I'm going to talk. Did you see what they did? You were in that tunnel. Alejandro just shot you. Like, what are you doing, you dumbass? I'm going to talk. It's like, it's too funny. She's a great character, but she also is too smug and too self-righteous to see that, you know, she's putting herself in harm's way. Anyways, of course, the movie ends where you think she's going to actually, you know, finally take control and do something that's not right, because, you know, she pulls a gun on Alejandro in the parking lot, and he kind of just turns around, stares at her, just sort of like, do it, put me out of my misery, just do it. She can't bring herself to do it, and it's like, yeah, I see, you're not a wolf, I told you. And he kind of just turns around, smirks, and just like struts. Benicio has a phenomenal walk. Like, there's some people who have just, Daniel Kaluuya's walk is a bit weird. He's got a weird gait on camera. I've seen a couple movies. I'm like, Daniel, you know, you gotta work on that gait, my man. Benicio just has like a strut,
swagger, man,
swagger, strut. That guy is just walk swagger and just prancing about town. Like, no matter. And that's, to me, is like, when you talk about like old school, old fashioned, like leading man actor, like that's what it looks like. Someone who's just so natural on camera, no matter what role he's in. That's, to me, is Benicio del Toro. And I can't say enough about this film. It to me, it made, like I said, like, I realized I was sleeping on this guy, and I think a lot of people did, because if you look at, you watch clips on YouTube, everyone's just like, Benicio del Toro stole this movie. Like, cannot wait for Sicario 3. Like, there's talks about doing a third one. Mm. Everybody loves this character, this movie, and they want more. And that's why it's my number one, man, because I think it just brought him to a place I don't think people had knew he could do. And it brought a care. It brought a movie that probably wasn't on a lot of people's radar, you know, because Denis Villeneuve was not a well-known guy. Neither was Taylor Sheridan. But it was like, oh, cool. A action movie about the drug cartel. Sounds good. And then you get into it and you're like, whoa, this is way more than that. And how a performance and a character can just elevate a film to where it's like, no, now it's, this could be a franchise. That's all credit to Benicio del Toro.
Definitive badass of the past decade, Alejandro. I mean, it's a couple incredible moments here, because this is, he, it's funny that you mentioned Heat, because in the history of our film lives, people who can exude true menace, you know, De Niro is one of those people. When De Niro gets angry on camera, like, I really feel it. And Benicio has that same thing. Mm. When Brolin's interrogating the guy, he's not making any headway. And Benicio walks in and the guy turns. He's not looking at Benicio because he's terrified. He's looking at Brolin. And Brolin goes, what are you looking at me for? Talk to him. And he just sits back with a big smile. Yeah. Like, you have, that's like, that's, he, it's a supernatural thing with Benicio.
It is. Like, it's like
to have that amount of intimidation from nothing.
You can't teach it. You just have it. You just can't teach it. And he just has it, man.
Oh, and the second one, when Bernthal, when he's choking out our girl, and you just see, like, it's almost like a Batman intro. Like,
yeah,
you just see it slowly, ooh, like the gun, like lift his head up, and you're just like, yep, that's our hero.
That's our hero.
Guy. Yeah. We love him so much that when he's at the dinner table with children, we're still sort of like on his side, because the story you told about his family, it's not just that it's heartbreaking, but we've all heard so many horrible tales about what the cartel do that we do believe that this would happen to someone's family. So you're just like, yeah, this guy's daughter probably was put in acid.
Yeah.
So of course, this is what he turns into. Absolutely. And then it's sort of a cycle of people trying to get revenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The movie is just sort of like the definition of awesome. You know what I mean? It's just like, it rocks. Full stop.
Full stop. Absolutely full stop. It rocks. Yeah. Probably one of the best films in 20 years. I mean, it has to be one of the best films of the 20th century.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
21st century.
I personally, you probably same, where it's like, I don't have a lot of middle ground with this movie. It's either like you've seen it and you love it, or you just haven't seen it. I don't know any sort of like indifferent Sicario takes.
I don't know how you could. I mean, it's
right, what?
I mean, it's sitting at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, 85%. That's pretty good. I think it should be higher personally, but you know, sometimes these critics, I don't trust them. But yes, I agree. I mean, I don't know, because I wouldn't change a frame. There's not a wasted moment in this. Every shot is gorgeous because it's shot by the GOAT, Mr. Deakins. You got a director who was just coming into his own, you know, and flexing, and you got a great writer who is kind of lived and from this part of the country and writes very well about this part of the country. And these people and these cultures. So, I mean, I don't, you know, and it pulls back the curtain to see like how, and it's always something that's like, it's kind of like a throwaway line. Like, I understand what you mean, John, about how my relationship, my understanding of like the drug war and the border, you know, is kind of like, I have no way to relate to it. You know what I mean? Like, I've spent most of my life in living closer to Canada, you know, like I don't know. And now I live in LA. It's like, okay, I can kind of understand, but I'm still pretty far from the border. You know, the closest I got was when I was driving cross country and we drove through Texas, and we actually drove through on the 10. I think we drive through El Paso, and that's like really, really close to Mexico. And that was like a trip. I remember thinking like, whoa, this is like a different world down here. Like, it really is like a different world when you're living on a border town in Mexico. But I hear what you're saying. Like, it's kind of like a throwaway, like, oh, the, you know, the cartel, drug war. I don't know. Who knows what's going on down there? I just know it's bad. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? We've been fighting this war for what, 20, 40 years now at this point. So when a movie comes along like this and kind of not only entertains you, but also kind of educates you on like the complexities of it, and the different methods they're taking to try to figure out how to solve it, you're like, oh shit. So that's the other layer too, is like, it's just a great educational piece of art where it's shining a light on something that's what great art does. It shines a light on something that maybe you weren't paying attention to, and now you are, because you were told a great story with compelling characters and a talented filmmaker and a great story. And of course, Benicio del Toro, he makes everything better.
Dude, incredible. I mean, it's really a testament to how much I love One Battle that this was not my obvious number one, because this, I love Sicario. I'm with you. Yep. I'll watch this 3 times a year.
Yeah, you have to.
And it just rocks every time.
Every time.
Real quick, before I forget, I love the cop character. I think that's so interesting that they did that. They have a guy in this movie who exists just to be collateral damage towards the end. We introduce him. He's a cop in Mexico.
Oh,
He has a kid. He has a wife. We have no idea why we're following this guy. And then he just sort of casually dies. Because that's what happens in this world. All these people just sort of casually die, and we don't know who they are, and they're faceless and nameless and blah, 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 down the line. But this guy is sort of, you know, he's trying to support his family, and this is the only way he can do it. And then it just, that's it. He's gone.
Yep.
And then that soccer game at the end is so heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the like shots going off in the distance. Right?
Yeah, there's just a war sort of, that's what happens. Yeah. There's a war a couple hundred yards away.
Go back to plan, kids. Go back to plan. It's fine. Yeah.
That's how it is.
That's how it is, man. Very true. Yeah. And I think it's funny, because Benicio's in both these movies, but it made me think of Traffic. And Traffic is, you know, that's one type of movie. It's like, whoo, this is kind of a lot. And then you have this type of movie where it's like, whoa, now this one I could watch five times in a week, you know what I mean? And still find things and not get bored, you know what I mean? Because it's like, there's one way to do it and there's another way to do it, you know?
And what's funny is he won for the one that we don't like, or
That's
I don't
correct.
like at least, but.
I don't dislike it. It's a movie I watch maybe once every 6 years if I'm feeling like I want to be depressed, you know, and I want to.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Just want to
It's
get
not.
sad for a little
I
while.
think I honestly. I think I've seen it twice. I think I saw it once initially, probably like in, I don't know, 2008 or something like that, and then obviously again for our other draft. But yeah, it's the one he won the Oscar for. This one, I understand why he wouldn't get nominated for this performance, even though I still think it's worthy of mention because of so much of what he's doing with his body and his expressions and his micro expressions, to me is just as impressive as, you know, what he was doing in Traffic.
That's the stuff I can't wrap my head around, because if you watch someone do some incredible monologue,
yeah,
that's what the Oscars will appreciate.
Yep.
But when you watch someone do a monologue, you can kind of piece together in your head, like, okay, so if I study real hard and I move like that, maybe one day I can really nail that monologue. But when I watch Benicio do nothing and terrify me, I in no way do I ever think, oh, I could pull that off. Because he's not doing anything. He's just walking into a room.
Yep.
I can't do that.
Nope.
So
something
really impressive to me. Like, I don't understand how that works. That's just,
yeah,
you were born that way, right? I don't know what
I
else.
I think it's something. It's just in your DNA, and you just had it. You know,
Yeah.
something you just had. Yeah. Ugh, can't say enough about it. I'm so glad you're a big fan, because
Oh, dude.
It's a movie that, like, it doesn't come up a lot in conversation, but I think it should. It's one of those movies that I feel like should be talked about a lot more. In like top, you know, I didn't, somebody just released like 100 best movies of the last 25 years. That was
New
New
York
York
Times?
Times.
Yeah,
yeah.
they did a thing.
And, yeah. And there's a lot of movies on there that I did not agree with. Some of them
Oh,
I think
of
they got,
course.
some of them I think
Yeah.
they got right, but a lot of them are just like, I don't know if Sicario was on there. I honestly don't remember, but
I
if it
doubt it.
wasn't it, if I, if it, but if it should be, you know, it should be, it's up there. Fantastic.
Love Sicario.
Do you think the people that sent you here or any different? Who do you think we learned it from? The grieving lawyer. Your wife. You think she'd be proud of what you've become?
Don't forget about my daughter.
No fue personal.
Para mí sí.
Not in front of my boys.
Ahora vas a conocer a Dios.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.